You're listening to Vatican Radio. Closer practical cooperation between Anglicans and Catholics in countries across the globe. That's a primary goal of a two-day visit of the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, to Rome this week. The Anglican leader arrives on Wednesday and is scheduled to join Pope Francis for an ecumenical liturgy at the Church of San Gregorio al Celio in the afternoon. Also present will be pairs of Anglican and Catholic bishops from around the world who'll be symbolically sent out on mission together. On Thursday morning, the leader of the Anglican Communion will have an audience with the Pope in the Vatican, together with the heads of about half of the world's 38 Anglican provinces. The two-day programme of events, which also includes a colloquium on Anglican-Catholic dialogue at the Pontifical Gregorian University, is marking the 50th anniversary of the first official contacts between Pope Paul VI and Archbishop Michael Ramsay, followed by the setting up of Rome's Anglican Centre. New Zealand Archbishop David Moxon is the current director of that centre. He sat down with me to talk about these celebrations and about the most significant progress of the past half century.
There are three important elements. First of all, there's the agreement over doctrine. We have, I think, about 85% agreement over basic core doctrine, including baptism and Eucharist. We're working on other doctrinal matters. We've got agreement on marriage. We've got agreement on the way we use the scriptures, how we discern moral issues from the Bible. We've got agreement on kingdom of God, missiology. That's the first thing. The second thing is that we now enjoy a practical relationship, a partnership in mission between Catholic and Anglican bishops around the world, where the IARCUM, the International Anglican Roman Catholic Commission on Unity and Mission, is encouraging local people, including bishops, to lead together on justice and peace, on the kingdom of God. And then thirdly, we have the Anglican Centre in Rome, which is an embassy to the Pope. It's a presence of the Archbishop of Canterbury in Rome. It's a way of being local, friendly and collaborative with the Vatican.
Now, to mark this important anniversary, you've got the meeting not just with Pope Francis and the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, but you've also got Anglican leaders coming from all over the world, haven't you, to, if you like, show in a very practical sense this partnership for mission.
Yes, there are two aspects to that. There's Anglican primates, about 17 of them from the 38 Anglican provinces of the world coming together, and they'll be with Archbishop Justin and in an audience with the Pope. Delighted about that. The second aspect is pairs, literally pairs of Catholic and Anglican bishops from their own locale, the place where they work together, coming to Rome from all over the world, to be mandated to go out and intensify and to put on the balcony, if you will, their partnership hopes and dreams.
That will take place at the conclusion of an ecumenical Vespers in the Church of San Gregorio, won't it?
Yes. Yes, it will. The presence of the Archbishop of Canterbury together with the Pope, it's our planning, our hope, where the prayers for their joint shared mission will be greatly intensified and greatly mandated and encouraged.
We've heard Archbishop Welby talking recently about his desire for a breakthrough in the dialogue, the Anglican-Catholic relationship. Is that a realistic hope, do you think? And what exactly are we talking about in terms of a breakthrough?
The one breakthrough we can hope for, that is obvious, that we do pray for, that we in fact plan for, is a much more obvious form of collaboration on justice and peace, a much more obvious collaboration on development, refugees, trafficking, response to climate change. For example, the implications of Laudato Si are of enormous importance for the whole world, and Anglican bishops and other leaders can get in behind that in a special way with their Catholic brothers and sisters. So what we're looking for is, don't just tell me, show me, in terms of partnership, in terms of collaboration, and that would be a breakthrough, because if we are capable of holding hands in the face of global evil, global oppression, global agony and suffering, then that would be a breakthrough indeed for the kingdom of God.
There will be a joint declaration, won't there, coming out of this meeting. Can we expect anything really quite significant along the lines that you're talking about then from these 2 days?
All I know about the joint declaration is that it's currently being prepared and that it will be embargoed as a surprise, perhaps, I hope as a gift, on the day.
We've heard for many years Anglicans and Catholics talking about this great desire for intercommunion, of being able to share around the Lord's table. Some would see that as perhaps the crucial breakthrough if we're going to really talk about developments for the future.
Well, the Catholic Church has a very helpful concept of degrees of communion, a spirituality of communion, which means that we are one actually through our baptism. it's a degree of communion, quite a high degree of communion. We are one when we collaborate together on justice and peace on kingdom issues. We are one when we respond to people's needs together. We are one when we pray together in ministries of the word, liturgies, vespers, that kind of office. That brings us very close to Christ indeed and to each other. They are degrees of communion. We don't have a full degree of communion. It's impaired, as we would say. And so Eucharistic communion that you're referring to is not yet something we can share. But we pray, we strive, we work towards it, as the encyclical Ut Unum Sint invited us to do. And Ut Unum Sint is an encyclical that's still in front of us, which is still drawing us on. But I believe that when the Pope talks about sharing communion on the way, on the Camino, as he says, there's a great degree to which we already share, and there's much more, obviously, that we need to work for.
Many people would look at the question of women's ordination, priestly ordination, and also now bishops within the Anglican Communion, and they would see this as a new obstacle, something that wasn't there 50 years ago when the dialogue began. I mean, is it possible to talk about progress when we have such a degree of difference over this issue?
Certainly your word and others' use of the word obstacle is real, and it's being honest about the fact that it is in the middle of the road towards organic union. There's no doubt about that. What we do, though, is we agree to disagree well on that question, and we agree to collaborate with all members of our churches, our communions, in as many ways as we can, to the greatest extent that we can. Only God knows how that large obstacle in the middle of the road will be rolled away like a stone moved away from a pathway to a new creation. We don't know how that will happen. We don't know when it will happen. We don't know whether it's even possible. But what we do know is that God is capable of finding ways where there doesn't appear to be one. And the degree of collaboration we can share, the potential for that is much greater than we think, even with that obstacle in the road.
Some observers look at the way Pope Francis reaches out at such a personal level to people of other different Christian churches, and some would say the official dialogues somehow seem perhaps no longer necessary or useful given the way that he can connect to people at such a direct level.
Well, it has been a most welcome form of extroverted ecumenism with this particular pontificate. It has been warming, it has been encouraging, it has been groundbreaking in its way. But I'm sure, I can't speak for the Pope, but I'm sure that his representatives and Anglican representatives would say, in the background, you need a planning room, you need a blueprint, and that's never a substitute for closer intimacy and closer partnership. You need a way of understanding where you differ, where you agree, and where you might actually improve the levels of agreement. And we're on the Commission, Anglican Roman Catholic International Commission, mostly very encouraged by the degree to which we can inch forward on subjects around ethical matters, for example, on euthanasia, on biology and technology, on slavery, on a whole range of things where we haven't yet got agreements. And we need that backroom blueprint work. And then that provides a basis on which more friendship and more collaboration is possible.
Finally, you're looking back and giving thanks for the past half century. If you had to look forward to the coming years for the Anglican Centre, what are your hopes?
I would like to see a real movement forward with the potential that's already inside us, which is the hope that is already in us. There's so much more room to be occupied, some high ground to be occupied than we currently do. And if we were able to do that, then I think that would greatly influence the quality of our dialogues officially. For example, mission will start to drive ecumenism. And if that's all that happened in the next 25 years, mission driving ecumenism, much greater linking of arms in the face of global oppression and global evil, crimes against humanity, we would find God drawing us together much more closely.
Exactly in the way as it happened a century ago at the beginning of the ecumenical movement, at the beginning of the 20th century.
Yes, and as several cardinals have already said, particularly Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor, the closer you get to the top of a peak, a mountain, the harder it gets. And we shouldn't be surprised that the ascent, the grade, the gradient of the climb that we're now engaged in does leave us a little breathless and does leave us with a harder work to do. But we are aiming for the top.
My thanks to Archbishop David Moxon, Director of Rome's Anglican Centre and the Archbishop of Canterbury's representative to the Vatican.